If you have your Bible this morning, turn with me to Revelation chapter 3, verse 16. This is the last of our study of the seven churches. I'm just going to read a portion, and this sets up the message for this morning. But the scripture verses for Laodicea is verses 14 through 22. But we're just going to look at a portion of verse 16. It says, "Thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, Laodicea, the lukewarm church." Laodicea was known for a number of things. One was its wealth and its manufacture of a special eye salve, and they were also a clothing center. It was also located near Hierapolis, where the famous hot springs were in Colossae, known for its cold, pure water. Now, the Lord is presented here as the Amen, or that word simply means He is the truth. He speaks the truth. And the Bible said in verse 14, He is the faithful and true witness. Now, the Lord was about to tell the truth to this church. You know, sometimes the truth is kind of hard to bear. And I know for the church at Laodicea, he was going to tell them the truth about their spiritual condition, but they would not believe it. Now, our Lord had no words of commendation for this church. Now, wouldn't it be an awful thing to be a church and say that we love the Lord and we're servants of the Lord, and the Lord could not give any word of commendation about our church? Well, that was the case for Laodicea. His accusation, though, was threefold. "Thou art lukewarm, neither hot or cold, and I will spew thee out of my mouth." He said, "I would that you were hot or cold." Now, there's not any way to dress this up and make it look better than what it really is, but the condition of the Laodicean church was that they were lukewarm and they were nauseating. In fact, somebody said they were a little too cold to be hot, a little too hot to be cold, and a little too bad to be good, and a little too good to be bad. Cold water is not nauseating, neither is hot water. But lukewarm water is sickening. An evangelist gave this story. He said, "One night years ago, after a service in a small town church, a brother told me that he was going to take me to the hotel after the service. And he said, I think he thought that I had been persecuting the church too severely. And he said this, and I quote, 'Well, we're not so good in this town, but we're not so bad either. We try to make an honest living, pay our bills, behave ourselves. We're not too good, but we're not so bad.' To which the preacher replied, 'Don't you remember that's the kind of people that made the Lord sick?'" The trouble at Laodicea is summed up in two phrases: "Thou sayest and knowest not." Thou sayest and knowest not. Thou sayest that I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. In other words, this church had everything they wanted. You know, I've never pastored a church like that. I've always had to struggle, you know, to get what we needed. But they had everything that they wanted. They were independent. They did not need a thing. You know, and I can tell you that sometimes churches think that they've got it all figured out. They know that they've got an order of service. It may not be written down, but they've got an order of service. And they know what to do, and they do it well. And so sometimes the Holy Spirit is not necessary in their services. What a tragedy. Well, this church was independent. A church like this, though, always needs revival. They may see themselves differently, but when God sees with his X-ray vision, he can see the real need of any church and any person. An evangelist said, I'm wearing myself out these days, preaching to churches that need nothing to hear them say it. Such a smug self-satisfaction comes out of ignorance, and thou knowest not. Now compare their own estimate of themselves with the Lord's analysis. He said, thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Actually, these Laodiceans were wretched in the sight of Almighty God. Now, they were burdened down, not with debt, but they had too much money. Can you imagine? Have you ever dreamed like, boy, I'd like to have plenty of money in my house. I could pay all my bills, get me this, that, and the other. Well, this is the way that church was. They had plenty of money. They were proud of themselves, but the Lord felt sorry for them. Proud of themselves, but the Lord felt sorry for them. And of all things, they were poor. And so is any church that is not rich towards Almighty God. No matter how many big cars we might have out in the parking lot, that doesn't matter. You're rich on the inside or you're poor. And they were a poor church. In fact, they were a poor, rich church. I'd rather be a rich, poor Christian than a poor, rich Christian. You see, they were blind. They were short sighted, they had no vision of God and of their own hearts. And they saw no need outside their four walls. And I'm going to tell you, this is where a lot of churches are at today, and this is why that we're not growing as a church world, is folks are satisfied with what they've got inside the four walls. There's not a hunger or a passion for souls that are dying going to hell outside these four walls. We come to church, and I'm glad you do. We do all that we do, and we have a good ministry here. But brethren, we could be so much better if we had more compassion that would cause us to get up and go out and try to compel folks to come in that the house of God might be full. You see, we're trying to get a lot of Christians to do what they need to do. We're trying to get them to volunteer and say, here am I, Lord, send me. But before we can say, here am I, send me, we need to say, woe is me, for I am undone, and I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Sometimes we need to search our own hearts and see, are we where God wants us to be? I think if you're where God wants you to be, you'll have that compassion, that desire to reach others for the cause of Christ. To cap the climax, the Lord of the candlestick said to Laodicea, thou art naked. Now, Laodicea was a clothing center, and I'm sure that if there was any one thing that that church prided themselves on was the fact of their good dress, you know? They had their three-piece suits, their ties, and they looked good on the outside. And I don't want to talk down dressing good for church because I think you ought to put on your Sunday best. But God looks not at the clothes. He looks what's on the inside. And he's concerned about our souls. Because you see, these old clothes, one of these days, they're going to be burned up. One of these days, all that we have will be gone. Only what's done for Christ will last. Well, all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. His eyes saw only rags of self-righteousness. They were garbed in purple and the very finest of clothes. But the Lord said that they were poor. The Christ of the candlestick says to Laodicea, and I believe he says it to us. You know, I really believe that these seven churches, that they're all around us. And we still have Ephesus. We have churches that have left their first love. We still have Laodicea, where folks are self-satisfied. They're rich and increased with goods, have need of nothing. But I also want to remind you that we need a gold or precious stone if we're going to build anything that's tried by fire. Now listen, the Bible tells us that in the last days that we're going to be tried by fire. And I don't think it's just at the time of the Great Tribulation. I think we're going to see some hard times before that day comes. And we'll be tried by fire, and so we're told that we need to build on something that will not burn up. That is, it's fireproof. Fireproof. I want to build on something that's not going to go up in smoke when the Lord comes and examines us. You see, a lot of folks are building on cheap Christianity. Their foundation is flimsy. It is superficial. It's not built to last. And it'll go up in smoke. The Lord says further, and buy of me white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Imagine offering to supply clothes to Laodicea. But we're in the Laodicean age ourselves, and there are some that see this as the church of Ephesus was the church of that day and time when the Lord, after that he had left and the church was established, and that it goes down in sequence till finally it reaches the end age of the church of Laodicea. Maybe that's true. But if it is, what a picture of the church. But we're also instructed to anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. Now the Bible gives us a good illustration about opening eyes. You remember back in the Old Testament, Elisha, the Syrian army came and encamped round about Elisha, and they were going to take him. And the servant came rushing in, and he said, look outside. There's soldiers everywhere. There's Syrians everywhere. We're in trouble. But Elisha went outside, and he saw that there were angels encamped around him with their swords drawn. And he told him, Lord, I want you to open the eyes of my servant that he may see. And then he prayed again and said, Lord, close the eyes of those Syrians out there that they cannot see. And that's what God did. We need a true vision of our circumstances, our allies and our adversaries, to where that we can know that there's more with us than against us. And to know that, yes, we're on the winning side. It may not always look like it. It may not always feel like it. But I'm here to tell you, we're on the winning side. I've looked in the back of the book, and I know that I know in whom I have believed that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. The Christ of the candlesticks offers correction for lukewarmness. He said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. A note of tenderness and of love. Have you ever told your children, Mom and Dad, I love you, and this discipline, this spanking I'm going to give you hurts me more than it hurt going to hurt you? I never bought into that when I was growing up. But it sounded good. And, you know, I guess Daddy cloned me, because when I got older and had children, I told them that occasionally. That it's going to hurt me more than, and I know in their mind they said, no, that ain't right. But, you know, you discipline your children because you love them. You love them. You want them to have a great life. You want them to be successful. You want them to be a child of God, and you have such hope for them. And this old idea today that, you know, you can't spank a child. If they need their backside warped a time or two, warp it, you know. The Lord says, spare the rod, you'll spoil the child. I think he knows a whole lot more than Dr. Spock or some other. Be zealous, be boiling. Dr. G. Campbell Morgan said, lukewarmness is the worst kind of blasphemy. The Lord did not say he would spew them out of his mouth for being too hot. You see, too much fire is better than lukewarmness. God wants us to be boiling on the inside. Have you ever seen a steam engine run on warm water? Have you ever seen a church that was warm be successful? You've got to be hot and boiling. Sometimes folks have this kind of their philosophy and what they're looking for. The ideal service is a mild-mannered man standing in the pulpit, preaching to mild-mannered people, exhorting everybody to be more mild-mannered because they aren't lukewarm and neither cold nor hot. He says, I will spew thee out of my mouth. It is the age of the Laodicean. I get tongue tied on that. It is the age of the Laodicean lukewarmness. And the Lord of the lampstand is saying, be zealous and repent. Too many are living close enough to the church to be warmed by the church, close enough to the world to be chilled by the world. And so it makes them lukewarm. It were better if you were cold. It's been said there's more hope for the African who has never ever heard the gospel than for a pagan Christian. And I know that sounds like a misnomer. But one who professes to know the Lord Jesus Christ but has never ever been saved, been warmed by the church, but never really committed their life to the Lord. They see no need of repentance. A person does not have to freeze in formalism nor fry in fanaticism, but he can be boiling because of the Lord Jesus Christ lives within his heart. And he inspires him to go and to make a difference. But if your fire's gone out this morning, or if it's about to go out. You know what you do? I remember the old pot-bellied stoves when I was growing up. You'd rake off the ashes and you'd kind of stoke the coals. And you'd put in some kindling and then you'd put in the heavy stuff and the fire would start to grow. And it would be so hot in a little while. Have you ever got up close to those old pot-belly stoves, you know? And Virginia got us a little heater, I guess it is. It's an abbreviated pot-belly stove. No, something like that. But anyway, you know, you get up against it, and then your brother or your sister would pull your pants leg, and it just burned the fire out of you on the backside. Well, we need that kind of fire spiritually in our hearts and lives. But to every one of these ailing churches, our Lord said, repent or else the Laodicea was, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Sometimes we have Ephesian churches that have left their first love. I think you can see every one of the churches today. And I think really, that's what it's telling us, that these churches are present with us today. It's not just at Laodicea, but it's probably telling us more of where we're at today than any of the other churches that we have left our first love and that we have become lukewarm. One of the saddest features of the whole business is that the very people who need to arouse themselves most of all on this point are the very ones who are not conscious of the fact of their needs for spiritual renewal. McLaren said, a numbed limb feels no pain. As cold increases, the sensation of cold and of everything else goes away. Those who need to go to the mourner's bench, most of all, are usually the ones that see no need, even as they see others go to the altar. You know, I think every now and then that Christians ought to just stop and analyze themselves. Where am I on my spiritual journey? Am I where God wants me to be? Am I as close to the Lord as I should be? I think sometimes it's good for us to just stop and analyze and to know where we are. A year from now, what a difference the Lord can make in this church. I believe it has an excellent future. I believe God's got great things in store, but it's going to take a lot of people putting their shoulders to the wheel in order to make it happen. We've got to be up and about the Lord's business. In December of 1914, a great sweeping fire destroyed Thomas Edison's laboratories in West Orange, New Jersey, wiping out $2 million worth of equipment and the record of much of his life's work. Edison's son, Charles, ran about frantically trying to find his father. Finally, he came upon him standing near the fire, his face ruddy in the glow. His white hair blowing in the winter wind. Charles said, my heart ached for Dad. Charles Finney said, Charles Finney said of him, he was no longer young, and everything was being destroyed. He spotted me, and he cried out, where's your mother? Find her, bring her here. She'll never see anything like this as long as she lives. The next morning, walking about the charred embers of so many of his hopes and dreams, the 67-year-old Edison made this statement, this is great. There is great value in disaster. All of my mistakes are burned up. God says I can start anew. A good attitude, isn't it? Good attitude. But you know, that's the good attitude that we ought to have at as we look at our life and we're not just where we want to be. Good news, you can start anew. And you can do it this morning Isn't that good news? Good news, good news, good news, you know? We ought to just be shouting and telling folks, I've got good news. I can start again. You can start again. No matter where you're at in life, there's hope for you. Good news. Bow with me for prayer.